This is Pod Populi, podcasts for the people.
Welcome back to Dateless in Del Rey, the podcast where we talk about dating, relationships, reinvention, and all the messy, confusing, hilarious, heartbreaking, and hopeful moments in between. I'm Susan Shore, and today we're talking about something almost everybody seems to agree on lately. Modern dating is exhausting. Not impossible and not hopeless, but really exhausting. Somewhere between swiping, texting, ghosting, breadcrumbing, orbiting, and trying to figure out whether, hey, deserves a response, dating starts to feel a little less like romance and a little more like a part-time job with no benefits. People say they want connection, but they're terrified of vulnerability. They want honesty, but avoid difficult conversations. They want chemistry, but sometimes confuse it with chaos. And maybe the biggest irony of all, we've never had more ways to connect while simultaneously feeling so disconnected. So today we're getting into it. And I'd like to share a few statistics to set the stage. According to Pew Research, nearly half of Americans say online dating has become more difficult over the last 10 years. More than 70% of dating app users report feeling burned out, fatigued, and emotionally exhausted. And one recent study found that ghosting has become so common, over half of singles now consider it normal behavior in dating. Normal, which that's pretty scary. Our quote of the day: the greatest tragedy of communication is the illusion that it has occurred. The great George Bernard Shaw. So today's guest is Lopez Lassane. He's the author of the book At First Click, Dirty Little Secrets to Succeed at Modern Online Dating. And he's also the host of the Love Can't Wait podcast. He's known for his direct, unfiltered takes on attraction, dating psychology, ghosting, communication, and why so many people struggle to build meaningful relationships in today's swipe culture. Lopez, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I was looking forward to it.
Thanks. So can you tell us a little about your background and what you got you to this role as expert in modern dating and love?
Oh, okay. So, you know, I got started through my cousin back at home. This is like 15 years ago. I saw my cousin go online, and he started to meet people. And that motivated me to try. So I gave it a try. And the first time it worked, and I just kept doing it. And then I took those same skills that I tried through trial and error, and I applied it to business. I started meeting people in my personal life. I started meeting people in my business life. Hmm. So I just kept meeting people online from 15 years ago up until now. And then I started a YouTube channel where I would travel around and meet people. And then, you know, then I started getting a lot of questions about how did you meet these people? And, you know, how does everything work? And mm-hmm. then I started getting relationship questions, which I never wanted to do. I tell people all the time, I never wanted to actually give people relationship advice.
Right. So you fell into it. So can I ask, were you divorced or have you been married? And what brought you 15 years ago into the dating pool?
Well, back then I wasn't married. Okay. Right. But by the time people started asking me questions, I was married. I was traveling around with me and my wife. And she had a couple friends and people. But at the time when I started a YouTube channel, I never told anybody I was married. So it was kind of like a mystery. All they saw was, you know, a bunch of people around me. And it was like, hey, you know, how'd you meet these people and where y'all at? And then it went from there to, hey, How do you meet people online? And then it just kept growing and growing and growing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, somebody told me you should publish a book, which, you know, so I did that. And people just wanted more and more and more. And it just kept going and going and going and going until this day.
Okay, so although you hesitate to share that, you know, back then that you were married, may I ask, are you still married?
Yes.
Okay, so you give dating advice and help people navigate this crazy world, but you found long-term love in your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's encouraging. So why do you think so many people feel frustrated about dating apps and being out there in the dating world?
Well, there's a lot of misinformation out here. And I think the biggest challenge a lot of people have when they come online is you have to figure out, are you really dealing with the person that you see in the profile? Is it really a real person? Now, I think that's the biggest challenge for a lot of people when they come online.
Yes.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of people online will say, hey, you got to have a nice, you got to dress good, you got to look good, you got to have a nice haircut, you got to, you know, and that's a given. Yeah, of course you want to look good. Of
right.
course you want to put your best foot forward. But the biggest challenge is, are you dealing with a real person? And the quicker that you figure that out, the better.
Right. And also the person they are today, not their very attractive photos from 20 years ago, but who they are now. And AI certainly has complicated this situation online, and scammers and everything else. So what kind of advice do you share with people to kind of fast track figuring out if it's a real person?
I tell people, you want to get people on the phone as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to sit online for 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, going back and forth with emails with somebody, and you don't even know if they're a real person. You never heard their voice. You don't know how they look. You don't know if it's a man or a woman. You don't know anything. All you know is somebody on the other side is just sending you messages back and forth all the time. So I always tell people, I have like a seven message rule. I don't go over, like, if I send somebody a message mm-hmm. and they send me back, that's like the one, it's like a dual communication.
Okay, so interactions.
I don't go over seven times of that, right? If I have to go over seven times of going back and forth with you, well, that, to me, that's a red flag. So I just move on.
So, you know,
but
do you ask for their number, or do you give them yours, or how do you navigate that at the 7 point?
That's a good question. If it's somebody within the country, yeah, I live in the United States.
Yes.
So if it's somebody in the United States, I usually tell them, hey, leave your number and the best time to call. Now, if they say something like, well, I don't give out my number like that. That's fine. Let's just do a video. Because a lot of these apps have the video feature.
Right.
So let's just pick a day and time to do that. Now, if they say, well, I can't do that, or there's some pushback, or there's something wrong, that's a red flag, you know?
Yep.
So the quicker you get people on the phone, the better.
Okay. So once you, you know, have the video call, say, what's the next step? And how do you, what if you don't like what you see? Like, how do you extricate yourself in a kind way?
Well, if this happens too, you might get somebody on the phone and you might have a conversation with them and you might realize, okay, our morals and values are not within alignment. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know, I would say, hey, you know what? It's been nice talking to you. You know, and I'll just be cordial. I'll be, you know, I don't get upset or mad or anything like that.
Right.
I don't think we're a good fit. And that's okay. You know, and hopefully you find what you're looking for. And that's it. I end it just like that.
Right. It's hard for people not to take it personally and to be offended, but really it's two strangers. And so people have to get a little bit of a thicker skin about, you know, not being offended. You know, our instinct is to say, oh, well, what didn't you like? I'm having a bad hair day. Like, you know, you try to get defensive and sometimes, right, it's just you're not feeling it and you move on.
Some people won't even say anything. They'll just, when you hang up with them, and if you try and reach out again, like maybe send them a text or call them, they just won't respond.
Okay, so that brings us to ghosting, which everyone seems to have an issue with, and you know, for good reason. How do you navigate that? How do you deal with ghosting? Is it ever right to just not respond or not reach out?
Well, I mean, if someone doesn't want to talk to you, there's nothing you can really do about that. I just move on. You know, because I look at it like we're strangers. We don't really know each other.
Yep.
So, I mean, I wish them well. Hopefully they find what they're looking for. And that's it. You know, I don't take it personal. I don't take anything personal because I don't know this person. I don't know where they're from. And like I said, I don't even know if they're a real person until I get on the phone. And even when they get on the phone, I don't know their intentions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they really want to meet somebody. I don't know if they're a scammer. I don't know anything. That's the whole process is to find out if this is a real person or they're serious about meeting anybody. So I don't take anything personal in the beginning.
Right. And then what's your ideal first date? How do you take it from there?
Usually I meet mutual ground. That's why I always say. Mm-hmm. That's like, I'm not going to your house and you're not coming to my house. Mm-hmm. And I'm not flying where you are. You know, wherever we meet is going to be a mutual ground. It's someplace out in public. That's why I always say.
Right. Are you a coffee, cocktail, or dinner on a first date person?
Yeah, I'll do coffee. You know, I don't drink coffee, but I drink tea. I'll go to Starbucks or somewhere. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Right. But some people feel like you have to do dinner and it has to be a big deal, but that can cause a lot of resentment and keep you in the date longer than you'd want to be if it's not a good connection, right?
Exactly. Because I don't want to be stuck there. You know,
right. And then you don't want to be
sitting down at a table.
You're stuck there, and then you're paying a big tab at the end of the evening. So it's coffee or a drink probably it is the way to go. So your book title, Dirty Little Secrets. Tell us some dirty secrets that we might not know about the dating world.
There's a lot of people online that, you know, there's a lot of scammers online.
Yeah.
There's people online that are not who you think they are. They're not, there's people online that are being hired to do certain things and say certain things.
That's bad.
And the only reason I know this is because, you know, I know a lot of people that own a lot of these websites. So the people that own a lot of these websites, they want people to stay on the app or stay on the
right.
website.
Right. The apps are designed to keep retain you and keep you engaged and get you to sign up. They will show you some matches, but not all. You have to keep paying. Mm-hmm. It's pay to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's why I say, it's the quicker you get someone on the phone, the better.
Mm-hmm. You can get off the apps. What about people that are on multiple apps at the same time when dating lots of people at the same time? Do you have any advice on that?
No, I mean, people can do what they want to do. I mean, if they, you know, but.
Right. They're not committed yet, so it's okay. You don't have to be a one person at a time dater.
Yeah. Yeah, that's up to them. That's their prerogative.
Right. So how do you advise people who are always think there's something better around the corner, you know, that maximizer mentality where they're looking for everything in one package?
Well, you know, And you know, that's kind of a personal choice. You know, my grandmother used to say the grass is never green on the other side. It's just a different type of grass. So it just depends on what your belief and what you think, you know. And then some people think they can do better, you know, until proven otherwise. So unfortunately, some people have to learn the hard way, you know, and then some people are, they don't know exactly what they want. So sometimes some people have to work things out on their own.
You know? Yeah, that's for sure. So, Lopez, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to ask you about how you work with men specifically in the dating world. So we'll be right back. And we're back with Lopez Lassane. He is the author of Dirty Little Secrets in Dating, and a podcast host. And as I understand it, Lopez, you work with a lot of men, specifically in coaching them on dating. How does that work, and what's different about the men in the dating world?
Well, mostly when guys come to me, they're usually looking to get results based on a certain type of woman. You know, maybe they got results in the past, but they just haven't had, they never met anybody that got the results that they wanted. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for a different approach, different strategy. And that's basically what I'm here for.
Yeah, I've been told that it's a lot more difficult for men online, in some cases anyway, because women only swipe right on 10% of the men, and men swipe right on like 80% of the women, hoping to increase the odds. So how can guys stand out in the pool and be what women are looking for?
I think the guy has to know what he wants, and he has to just be focused. A lot of guys will look at profiles, and every profile they like, they will just swipe right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I said, no, don't do that. Really focus on the profiles of the women that you really like. Don't take what you can get. Don't do that.
Right. It's not going to work out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what about men that just look at the photos and they don't really look at the profile and the interests and the demographics and all the things, the common values that are really the foundation of a good relationship? No.
Well, that's why I say they should really focus on the women and the profile that they really want. And a lot of times, stay away from profiles that don't have no text, you know, and stay away from profiles that have double pictures, and stay away from profiles that have the pictures are too perfect.
Yes.
Sometimes I'd be thinking, no, it's edited. Photoshop.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you're looking for like pictures that are, I guess I would say natural, you know, there's maybe somebody took it from their cell phone or they took it from a camera, but the pictures that are polished, you know, you kind of want to stay away from that. And, right. And a lot of these pictures that are polished, a lot of times the woman is not even in the picture.
Well, her hot daughter is. Yeah. If someone's too, you know, looks too good to be true, they probably are not true. So, what about things like age and money? Those are two big issues, especially with men. Men get elevate in the dating pool if they're perceived as wealthy. And if they're wealthy, the stereotype is that they're going to go for a younger woman. So, does that always work, or what do you advise men in those two areas?
Well, I always say, keep your money in your pocket. Mm. Don't send any woman or any man any money. You don't know them.
Right. But even on the date, it's the expectation that they're going to be wined and dined, you know, that some women have. I just interviewed the host of Secrets of a Sugar Daddy, and the whole mission of sugar dating is that typically the man has money and the woman is being taken care of. But that's sort of an agreed upon genre, typical.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, that's a different type of relationship. Yeah, and that's if that's the relationship they have, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not wrong. I don't see anything wrong with that. But if you're looking for a traditional type of relationship, don't lead with money. Don't send, don't PayPal anybody any money. No. Don't, just don't do it, because you're starting off on the wrong foot, so to speak. You know, if you go about doing it like that.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people that live in other places, they'll perceive you as being weak if you send money like that. You don't know them. They don't know you. And so they won't take your kindness as weakness, even though sometimes, you know, they might tell you a sob story and you might you might feel a certain type of way about it, because it's human nature, you know. But in the long run, it's just the relationship is not going to go anywhere if you start sending money to somebody that you've never seen before.
Yeah,
you never seen before. You probably never meet them.
Right, and I think people are more aware of that you know, you don't send money to someone you haven't met. But I'm sort of talking more about once you have a date or two, this expectation that the gentleman pays for everything, that you should be taken on trips and dinners and everything else. I guess it has to be a willingness on both sides. The guy thinks he's getting something valuable by, you know, being the provider.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if that's the relationship they have and that's what they want to do, that's their prerogative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So what other, can you have any stories from your book that might illustrate how people have successfully navigated the dating apps?
Oh, man, it's so many. Yeah, I think the first, like I told you, my cousin.
Yeah.
Back home, he was the first person I saw. He had a woman fly all the way from Seattle, Washington, all the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Wow.
He picked her up from the airport and brought her back to, their house, the family house at the time. He was the first person I saw that did that. He actually made me a believer. He made me want to go online and start using Plenty of Fish at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the first person I've seen done that. He done it 5 times. I watched him do it. I couldn't believe it at the time.
So did he fly the woman in at his expense to that point about money?
I'm not sure. I didn't even ask that. But I was just amazed that she even came from that distance,
right,
all the way from Seattle.
Right. He must be very charming, your cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there is some concern about safety and just the expectation, like just because you come for a weekend doesn't mean there's going to be intimacy, say. It shouldn't be a quid pro quo.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But another thing, I'm glad you brought that up. See, 15 years ago, you didn't really have to worry about your safety. It wasn't like, because back then, it wasn't a lot of people on these dating apps back then. And no one was afraid. And back then, it was more taboo to be on these dating apps and these websites. You know, it didn't start to be like a big problem as far as safety goes, I would say, until about 2014, when people started to, dating online. It wasn't like it stopped being taboo. And then that's when a lot of people started coming on the apps.
Right.
And that's when it kind of took on a life of its own and to this day.
Right. So where do you think we go from here? So, you know, the dating apps have mixed results. And like I mentioned, AI is playing a more prevalent role. There's almost a backlash where people are saying, I want to meet authentically. I want to go to singles event and meet someone in person. So what do you think is happening? What's the future of modern dating?
I think you're going to have more people coming online. I think some people are going to try it and some people not going to get the results they want. I think only a small percentage of people are going to get the results they want. But I think more and more people are going to try, you know, and I think the longer the internet, you know, hopefully it keeps going and exists. And the more people have access to the internet, people are going to try regardless. If they have the right information or not, they're going to try.
What's your opinion of matchmakers? I've heard mixed, views on the genre from matchmakers who are a little disheartened, from people who've paid a lot of money and then haven't had success. They say they're finding the same people through a matchmaker they would have found online. On the flip side, I had a on my show, Rose Lambert. She's the Palm Beach matchmaker to the billionaires. So she has a very specific niche, but what do you think about matchmakers?
Man, that's a good question. Because I would say 10 years ago, I would have said having a matchmaker a total waste of time. But today, I've changed that. Because sometimes, especially when you're like in other countries, sometimes having a matchmaker, it's a good idea to vet the people that you could possibly meet, you know, especially if they speak another language that you don't speak. So I think sometimes it can be a good idea. You know, I really believe that sometimes because, and that's because of the a lot of the scamming and the scheming that's online. I think sometimes it's tough for a lot of people because they don't know how to vet people online. So if you have a matchmaker that, you know, they vet these people, they do the background check on these people, even before they meet anybody, I think it's a good idea today.
Right. And then if there's a niche, like I mentioned, if you're someone who's a very high net worth individual, you go to one kind of matchmaker. I've interviewed Jewish matchmakers that focus on people looking for a Jewish partner. So that helps you hone down on what you're looking for as well. But the expense can be a barrier to people as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what other secrets, any other juicy tidbits and secrets that you can share with us?
As far as what? Just meeting people online?
Maybe tips or secrets that, like you say, dirty little secrets. There's something that we wouldn't have thought of that you found people have been successful with?
Oh, well, one thing I can say is like when it comes to, I was telling somebody the other day, don't limit yourself to just the dating websites and apps. Mm-hmm. Because I've met people on the social media websites like Facebook, Instagram. You don't have to limit yourself just because it's a dating app. That doesn't mean you can't like send people DMs, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people say that, well, that defeats the purpose, but I mean, you have to do what's in your best interest. You know, if you see somebody like on Instagram or Facebook, I mean, send them a message, you know, just because it's not a dating website, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't approach this person. They're still a human being. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
But that's one thing I do that, cause you know, I don't get caught up in the apps and the dating websites like that. I use everything I do online. I use it to my advantage.
Yeah, well, in a sense, you're right. Networking is networking. As long as you're if you're reaching out for a business reason, there's a true business reason, and then the person happens to be single and available, you know, that's a benefit. But a local expert in dating, George Dubeck, he's very into that idea that networking, it transcends business and, and personal. So it is a good thought. Go to a networking event in your industry, but keep your eye open if someone's attractive. And then you have instant commonality. So, I think that's a good idea. What business were you in before you got into the dating game?
Direct sales. I was in network marketing. That's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I took the skills, the online skills, and from there, I just applied it to my personal life.
Right. You know, we talk a lot about with men, this notion of confidence, and that women are looking for confident men, and people are looking, confidence is attractive in any gender. But when you work with guys specifically, how do you coach them on being confident, but maybe not cocky? I can use that word.
Yeah. Yeah. There's I think there's a thin line between those two.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes let's say you talk to this woman on the phone and y'all have a nice conversation and everything goes well, and then so y'all make a day and time to meet in person. Right. A lot of times when a lot of people meet in person, someone usually blow it because what happens is some people are nervous. And then some people talk too much, So I always say, just ask questions, because you're trying to get to know the person. You don't have to. I say, hey, you don't have to talk about your job and how much income you got and your accomplishments. I mean, that stuff, get to that stuff later. I mean, you're really trying to get to know the person. And I think a lot of people don't talk so much. Ask questions. That's why I focus on asking questions. And don't be so uptight. This is supposed to be fun.
Right. You're right. It's supposed to be fun. And some people have gotten where they feel it's such a chore and so stressful. And I think when you mention asking questions, really listen to the answer, because a lot of times people are thinking about their next thing they're going to ask, and they forget to listen and play off of that answer. And that's probably helpful. And also keeping a sense of humor, that's got to be helpful no matter, where you meet or what type of person you are. Everyone likes to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. You just gotta, just ask questions. And you got it. In today's time with, people are very skeptical about almost everything today. Mm-hmm. So they always say you have to show and prove. People have to, if you're a man talking to a woman has to feel you. She has to feel like you're really interested, because everybody's talking. Anybody can talk a good game. But a woman has to feel you. A woman has to feel like, hey, I think this guy is really interested in me.
Yes.
And when she gets that feeling, that's gonna have her open up to you if you're a man,
Okay, so make her know that you're interested if you are indeed interested. Okay.
Yeah.
So on your podcast, Love Can't Wait, what kind of guests do you have typically? And with maybe who's the craziest guest you've had?
I have all kinds of people from all walks of life, really, from the person on the street. So the person in the ivory tower. Yeah, I have all kinds of people.
You interview them about their romantic life and how they found love or their journey and what they're searching for?
Yeah, it's usually most of the people that I interview, they made some type of transition. Maybe they grew up hard. They had a hard upbringing. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how they they became an adult and they figured out how to do better despite their upbringing. And then they, managed to find the person they want to start a family with and had kids with. Mm. And some of them have created businesses and everything, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, those are usually the, I look for those types of people to bring on. People that have, I guess you can say they went from the rags to riches type of story. You know, people that have, I guess, sometimes horrible upbringing.
Right.
You know, I like those type of stories.
People who overcome their trauma. A lot of people talk about childhood trauma and how it informs our relationships. No matter how hard we try, we're victims of that upbringing. It's very hard to overcome, but people manage. So
exactly.
Yeah. So if people want to work with you, can they work with you directly? And how do you do it?
I would say you can go to my website. It's loveatfirstclick.com. Or you can just go to my YouTube channel. It's at Love at First Click.
Okay.
My YouTube channel is Love Can't Wait is my YouTube channel. But my website, everything is there. It's Love at First Click. And I spell love, L-U-V.
Oh, yeah,
that's love at firstclick.com. Everything's there. You can find out everything about me there. All my books, all my videos, my blog, everything about me is over there.
Okay, perfect. So anything coming up in the future that's new and exciting, or are you just going to carry on with spreading the word about finding love and being successful in the dating world?
Yeah, I'm going to just keep spreading my message and helping as many people as I can and helping people meet men and women worldwide, you know, at this point, you know. I'm going to just keep doing it.
Okay, so you're not just in the U.S., you're all over the world?
No, worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have emails where people in other countries say, hey, man, I took your advice or I bought your book and it actually worked. You know, people from Australia to Brazil to Canada to Russia, you name it, you know?
Right. Everyone, everyone everywhere is looking for love. So I'm glad you are here in that space sharing your wisdom. And I recommend your book, Love at First Click, Dirty Little Secrets to Succeed at Modern Online Dating. And for people to check out your Love Can't Wait podcast. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. It was such an interesting conversation because people are discouraged and a little bit, you know, some people are giving up on dating apps and getting out there. So it's good to know that there are positive people out there that are still helping us believe that love is possible online and in real life. So again, you can find out more at loveatfirstclick.com about Lopez Lassane. It's L-U-V at firstclick.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, I hope you will follow Dateless and Del Rey on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, I welcome your input. Email me at susan@datelessanddelrey.com. Until next time, keep showing up, stay open, and remember that connection may start with a swipe, but real relationships still happen person to person. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.